pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The word of our Lord. As we bring forward Pastor Tom Venneken.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. He's got a great voice, doesn't he? He could be on radio. Oh, wait, he's already done that. Well, this is a most interesting word of the Lord. Most of you know that we've been looking at different characters in this story. I certainly don't want anyone to get any impression that we don't honor and cherish, most of all, the main character of the story, the reason for the season, our Lord Jesus. But today we're going to take a look at one that is probably, after Jesus himself, the most loved character of the Christmas story. She is often called the Virgin Mary. She is never called that in Scripture, by the way. She said, "I am a virgin," in our text. But she's not called that by any others. As you might know, some traditions think so highly of her as to suggest by the title that they've given her that she remained a virgin all her life. Now, the complication comes in when the Scripture tells us that she had at least two sons besides Jesus, and at least one or two daughters. She may have had up to like seven children, but we're not sure exactly how many. The Scripture doesn't make it absolutely clear. So we do not believe she was a virgin all of her life, but we definitely, absolutely, positively believe she was a young virgin and never was with any man until the Holy Spirit came on her. In the text Brother Jeff read, she became pregnant, the only woman on earth to have ever become pregnant by other than the usual means. Now, we don't really know much about Mary's personal history. I was thinking as we read that there is some proof that Mary also was of the line of David, but I am not remembering those details, so I'll have to look it up and get back to you on that. But Joseph was, and we believe Mary was also of the line of David, mostly from the prophecies that have always been true, always been fulfilled. She lived, obviously, with her parents in Nazareth. And you know how many words we hear about her parents? None. We don't hear one thing about how they dealt with this situation in their young daughter. But she lived with her parents in Nazareth. The concept of an unwed mother was much more serious in those days than ours. It should be serious in all days, but it was a very difficult situation. Some of us can remember in our lifetimes when it was a very big deal, when it wasn't even handled all that well, but it is a big deal. I would be among the first to say we certainly can forgive people who have children before they get married. We can and we should. But we also must say that the way that it should be is people should get married before they have children. Now, having said that, in our modern time, I'm only trying to emphasize that Mary would have believed that with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She knew there would be a problem. She knew her relatives, her family, her culture, her village, her town would look down on her for becoming pregnant before she's married. As we've said, every pregnancy on earth except that one is a result of sexual activity. This is always wrong outside of marriage, even though we can be forgiving if it happens. She was facing divorce and humiliation because her fiancé husband didn't believe her story. Didn't believe her. Who would? He didn't believe her story until what? It was confirmed by an angel. Now, I've shared before, angels in our culture are often seen as cute little children with wings, beautiful silky dresses. They're pretty cute. I like them. I like to see them. Kind of nice to see an angel on the top of a Christmas tree. But in real life, angels were not cute little things. They were the warriors of heaven. Almost certainly had a sword and a shield. And we know that they were terrifying because you probably remember, as I do, what's the first thing every angel always says when he appears to somebody? Don't be afraid. I've shared that before. So Mary probably was the least fearsome or afraid of most of the people angels visited. Mary's genealogy is given in Luke chapter 3. She was, as I said, of the tribe of Judah and the line of David. Notice if this were only true of Joseph, Jesus would not be of the line of David. She was related by marriage with Elizabeth, who was also in the line of Aaron. So Mary lived in Nazareth with her parents before she became the wife engaged to Joseph. You've probably heard of the great difference between the courtship and marriage from their day to now. When the marriage was arranged by the bride's father, in almost every case, virtually every case, the betrothal that our text calls pledged to be married, began and was very much like marriage, except the couple didn't come together. They didn't live together. They didn't stay together. They had this betrothal time for a year until the marriage ceremony would happen after that year of engagement, betrothal, pledge. It was during this betrothal period, Mary was pledged to Joseph, And then the angel came, the angel Gabriel came and announced to her that she was to become the mother of the promised Messiah. Verse 35. She's a very practical young woman. I'll tell you how we know that. She asked the most logical, practical question in the world. An angel says to a virgin who's never been with a man, "You're going to have a baby." She says, "How can this be?" Keep in mind, it's never happened in the history of the planet before or since. How can this be? She is a practical young woman. But you know what? She was also a devout, faithful young woman. Some scholars believe she might have been 14 or 15. We don't know for sure. The scripture doesn't tell us. But we know that she was faithful because she was obedient to God's word, and she was faithful to her husband, her fiancé. And of course, her question is so practical because it isn't normally possible. Never happened before, never happened since. We hear this story every year. Often we say in the Apostles' Creed, "born of the Virgin Mary," but I think we often fail to appreciate or understand this amazing message to this young girl, this amazing miracle that God did through her. We proclaim that God sent His Son. We believe that His Son is fully human and fully divine. And this is how it happened. One commentator wrote, "Every Jewish girl prayed to become the mother of the promised Messiah." Now, I didn't write down which commentator that was, and I don't know how he knew if every girl prayed, but we can say with certainty that it was very common for devout young Jewish girls to at one time or another pray that she might become the mother of the Messiah. Many godly girls would pray such a prayer. It certainly is possible that Mary prayed that prayer. As it appears, God did answer her with this great honor. Exactly why she was troubled at the angel's greeting is not clear. It could be the normal fear of an angel. Every one of us would faint or worse. She was troubled, though, at his greeting. But most likely it was out of a deep humility and amazing surprise to be told she was highly favored by God. Highly favored. All of us are favored by God. God sent His Son to save us. We're all favored. I don't know if too many of us are highly favored as Mary was. I believe she was not ultimately surprised to hear that the Lord was with her. I think she probably believed, as you and I believe, that the Lord is with us. But she didn't get it completely. The angel answered her honest question directly, added that her much older cousin, who was said to be barren. People talked about it. She was getting old. She was too old to have children, mostly. Nobody did that at her age. We still don't do that much. We don't know exactly her age, but she was Menamco. Okay? Her cousin Elizabeth. Not likely in the normal fashion to have any children. But of course, while we would not consider the news of Elizabeth as amazing as the news Mary received, from a human point of view, they're both pretty amazing. An old lady having a baby, a young virgin having a baby. We talked about those two last Sunday, about the comparison. The question, what then is this child going to be? The angel gave her the idea, and Mary followed through on the idea. I got it. I'll go see my cousin. Probably was a practical reason for that. To get out of town before she showed, maybe reduce some of the difficulty. We can't say that for sure. But it says, the text says, at that time, and the time was when she received the message, at that time, she immediately prepared to visit Elizabeth and left as soon as she could after receiving this remarkable message. We have no reason to think that she told anyone before she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was elderly, as I said, and was living with her husband Zacharias in their home, which was probably at a town named Jutta. It was in the neighborhood of Maon. It was a long way, and we have a map. And I don't think Jutta is on the map, but it was somewhere near Jerusalem. You can see, let's go ahead and put these up there. One is Zacharias and the angel, so that's near Jerusalem. Two is Mary and the angel, it's way up there in Nazareth. Three, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth somewhere around Jerusalem. Four, Mary returns to Nazareth. Five, Joseph and the angel. So Joseph was in Nazareth. Joseph and Mary then later return to Bethlehem. And the seven here right by Bethlehem was the birth of Jesus. Now, that's approximately 80 to 100 miles. They didn't have a Prius. That's quite a trip. Didn't have a Toyota either or anything like it. That was a huge trip. This is a great deal of difficulty that they went through. And all of that difficulty out of obedience to God. Yes, they were surprised. It was most unusual message. They were amazed and surprised. Though we have no information about her trip, we can imagine the thoughts and feelings Mary had as she made her way all those miles, all that difficult trip, on foot most likely. We believe probably Joseph took a young donkey along on their trip later to Bethlehem in the famous story. But always remember, as Rose comes forward to share a song, we don't always have songs right in the sermon, she's going to share this song. Remember that the Holy Spirit is considered a wind or a breath. God's breath, as Rose sings, Breath of Heaven.
I have a little I'm going to read first. That even though Mary was very young, she must have had great faith in God. Because after this frightening experience, Mary responds with humility and acceptance and trust before God. I am the Lord's servant, she said. May it be to me as you have said. Mary had a relationship with a God she knew she could trust. She knew that her holy God was going to use her to accomplish his plan for his people through the baby she carried inside, a baby conceived by a breath from heaven. Silent prayer. together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, cover me, your holiness, for you are holy. As you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place, all I am, for the love of your plan, help me be strong.
Sort of trying to look at this amazing story with fresh eyes. I'm highly impressed with the story when Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house. Rose asked me, we were talking about it, we wonder if any other child besides Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit from before birth. We'll just have to keep wondering. We don't know. But the text says Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, and we believe the baby was filled with the Spirit because the baby leapt in the womb. Signaled mom. Mom, guess who that is? The text tells us that not yet born John, later called John the Baptist, recognized the still newly conceived Lord Jesus and jump for joy. Time for my favorite theological word. Wow. Amazing. Of course, her pregnant cousin had to tell Mary what happened. Sometimes, of course, you can actually see babies kicking in their mom's womb, but Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and told Mary, listen to this. This is great. This is amazing. And then, apparently, young Mary promptly sang or spoke a hymn of thanksgiving. Her song of praise and response displays her sterling humility and trust in God's will. Now, lest you think Rose is the only one that gets to sing during the sermon, the surprise that I pulled on the praise team is that we're going to sing a song. It's not in our hymnal, but it's in the Christian Reform's Psalter hymnal number 212, and it will be on display behind me, so you can join. Betsy's going to lead us in singing the song called Mary's Song. Song sounded like that song from the hymnal, but that song is actually very close to the text. And we read, Brother Jeff read earlier the text, and I want to tell you rather simply that a song like that, a prayer like that, doesn't come from someone who isn't praying regularly. And she's thinking back over the history of her people, thinking back a couple of thousand years to the promises made to Abraham and to the joyous promise that was being fulfilled inside her own body. Those must have been joyous and encouraging months with Mary and Elizabeth together, visiting, sharing, I'm sure talking pregnancy stuff, I'm sure, thinking about and discussing both stories of their incredible children that they were bearing. This time would have been instructive for the young virgin about what to expect from her pregnancy and her pending marriage, though Mary would not have known how things might go when she returned home with the becoming obvious news. After 3 months, now do the math. Elizabeth was in her 6th month. Mary went immediately to visit her and stayed 3 months. That's 9 months, right? Now, I've never thought of it before, and maybe all of you figured it out before me, but she must have stayed till John was born. She must have. The numbers are right there. So, she stayed till John was born, even though she's not mentioned in the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The two of them would have had plenty of time to talk because Zechariah couldn't say anything. Now, maybe when two women are together, the husband never gets to say anything. That's a separate story. Back home in Nazareth, though, after John is born, now 3 months pregnant, about, Mary would most likely have faced upset parents, family, village, and friends about her pregnancy. We're told in Matthew's account that the righteous Joseph, we talked about him last week, he planned to divorce her quietly, not to make it a spectacle, not to go through the normal procedure, because, like I said, the entire family, the entire village, everybody would be upset for this unwed pregnancy. Her sin. Although we know that it wasn't. They wouldn't have all known that, right? Imagine Mary's position in this. This clearly meant Joseph did not believe her at first, at least not until the angel came to visit him. He then, we spoke about him, he obediently obeyed, took her to his own home. It is likely these were difficult times for Mary. Not only a pregnancy for a relatively young gal, but also suspicions, if not outright anger and hostility. Everyone who didn't believe her incredible story, and that would have been, let's see, who? Everyone didn't believe her story. Tied to ridicule and shame. It is not likely that she knew her son was to be born in Bethlehem. I should say it is likely. It's likely she knew the baby would be born in Bethlehem. She had read Micah 5:2 in her studies. But I'm guessing, what I meant to say is, it's not likely she had figured out how that was going to be. How was she going to get back to Bethlehem? She had made the trip. I showed you the map. But she didn't really know how that was all going to be worked out. So it must have been an aha moment. Aha, God has worked it out, when Quirinius, the governor, called for a census. And they would have known that they were required to go back to Jerusalem. And Joseph and her probably had conversations like, you know, I wondered how that was going to work out, but isn't that amazing? The governor made us go. So the governor was an instrument in God's hand. So they went the 80 or 90 miles from Nazareth. We don't know for sure if she rode a donkey. She may have rode the donkey part of the time and walked part of the time. Text doesn't tell us. And we have read, and we will read again on Christmas Eve, the story of the miraculous baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, who was named Jesus, just as the angel had said, because he was to save his people from their sins. Well, just 8 days later, he was presented in the temple for his required circumcision. Then 40 days after his birth, he was again presented at the temple as the law required for a dedication. We might call that baptism. Mary's heart must have gone through wild highs and lows when Simeon made a most amazing prophecy about Jesus, and then informed her that her own heart would be pierced, as if with a sword. And while Simeon was speaking his words of warning, it's like, whoa, this is all happening. This is a miracle. While Simeon was speaking, who comes along but 84-year-old Anna? Everybody knew Anna. She was a prophetess and she lived in the temple. And she came along and began giving thanks to God and started telling everyone. I even imagine she started yelling. It's just telling. She was so exuberant and so excited about the news that she told everyone she could find who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Think about Mary. Her head must have been spinning with all the excitement and amazement and wonder and awe. The Luke version does not make clear when the flight of the young family into Egypt occurred. It probably is buried there in verse 39 under when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law. Kind of like suggesting Law and the Prophets as Jesus being called out of Egypt and prophesied by Hosea. And we know after Herod's death, they somehow were told to return the following year and go live in Nazareth. Now, you know that story. But we're trying to think of it, trying to get personal with the story of Mary traveling under threat of death to Egypt and setting up a household there with her new husband and new son. And then moving back when Jesus is about two and setting up a home in Nazareth. We hear nothing of Mary except the story of Jesus when he was 12 at the temple. We know there Jesus respectfully and firmly reminded his worried mom that he had to be about his father's business. She knew he didn't mean Joseph. They knew, those two knew, more than the whole rest of the world what had gone on. When they found him, his parents were astonished, and I wonder if Mary was surprised. Why was she surprised and astonished? At her son's wisdom? No, I don't think so. Amazed that all the teachers of the land listened to him? I don't think so either. I think maybe she was astonished that this happened when he was 12 years old. I think she knew what to expect of this boy. But maybe at 12 didn't quite think he would be astonishing all the country's top professors. Whatever the reason, his parents did not understand what he was saying to them, says Luke 2:50. Jesus obeyed his parents, says 51, and again his mom treasured all these things in her heart as her boy grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That's verse 52. And you know then what happened. From our point of view, nothing. They went back to Nazareth. Jesus grew up to be a man. Mary had other children. Joseph, sometime after Jesus was 12, died and is never mentioned again. And after the Lord's public ministry, we read later, Mary comes into the picture here and there. She was at the marriage of Cana. Remember? She's the one who told Jesus, hey, son, they're out of wine. And he sort of said, what do you want me to do about it? This is a paraphrase. And then he did his first miracle. A year and a half later, we find her at Capernaum, apparently worried about her son and waiting outside the house where he was teaching, waiting to speak with him. At which Jesus said the memorable words, every mother hopes to hear these words, who is my mother and who are my brothers? I'm kidding just a little bit. But we know he had a very profound message at that. He was in effect saying, yes, my mother and brothers are outside waiting to talk to me, but my family is God's family. So I don't even think Mary was offended if she heard him say that. I think she learned again something that she already knew. Next time we find Mary is at the cross, along with her sister and Mary Magdalene and Salome and the other Mary, says John 19:26. From the cross, Jesus asked that beloved disciple to take care of his mom. And some say she lived with John from then on and not her own sons who were not yet believers. She was at the tomb and with the little company of the upper room after Ascension and Pentecost. So she witnessed her son's conception, her son's birth, her son's life, her son's ministry. She witnessed physically, she saw her son's death, and she saw her son's resurrection. And I'm not sure if the text tells us, but we're pretty sure she saw his ascension into heaven. Wow. She was highly blessed. What an amazing person she was. Truly a blessing to the whole world as the one chosen that first Christmas to give Jesus his human nature and bring him into the world. The angel said it briefly and best. She is truly blessed among women. Thank God for Mary. We don't need to pray to her. We pray to Jesus, her son. But thank God for Mary. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Mary, the mother of our Lord, the one who gave him his human nature, who witnessed all the extraordinary, or almost all the extraordinary events of his life. Lord, we thank you for that amazing story of that amazing woman. We ask that you'll continue to help us to be inspired by her and thank you for her. And Lord, above all, to help us to have the same kind of humility and faith and obedience and trust in you that she displayed so amazingly. Lord, thank you for this amazing story. Thank you for Mary, the mother of our Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.